Senator Porcamiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Daniel Conlon from the Cathedral of St. Paul.
Morning again. Let us pray. Lord, help us to seek, find, and cherish your divine design of love for every person. Bless our elected leaders, especially our state senators, with your graciousness and steadfastness of spirit, that they may see you, serve you, and love you in every person, especially the least and last of our state. We ask this prayer in the power of your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Youngbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Lorry, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Waugh, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogabeller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sheeran, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Spark, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger. Quorum is present.
Quorum is present.
Good executive.
We have a couple of executive and official communications.
Mr. President, or excuse me, the Honorable James Metzen, President of the Senate. Dear President Metzen, I have vetoed and am returning Senate File 2089, the Jobs and Economic Development Finance Omnibus Bill.
Mr. President.
Senator Porcamiller.
I move that Senate File 2089 and the veto message thereon be laid on the table.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
And Mr. President. A veto message, the Honorable James Metzen, President of the Senate. Dear President Metzen, I have vetoed and I'm returning Senate File 1997, the State Government Finance Appropriations Bill.
Senator Porcamiller.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 1997 and the veto message thereon be laid on the table.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Continue. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage of the House of the following Senate files herewith returned. Senate file numbers 805 and 1311, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 1131, a bill for an act relating to game and fish, modifying Lake Superior commercial fishing provisions. Senate File 1131 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Bach.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do not concur with the amendments to House to Senate File 1131, and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Opposed.
Motion prevails.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File 2171, a repassed bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. Senate File 2171, a bill for an act relating to state government, making changes to health and human services programs, etc. Signed, Albany Mathewis, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file, herewith transmitted, House File 2294.
Next, Senate File 2294 will be referred to the Tax Committee. First reading. There's motions and resolutions. There is one resolution on today's agenda, printed on today's agenda. Without objection, the resolution be sent to the Rules Committee. Staying on motions and resolutions, Senator Pogramiller, did you want to do general order stuff?
Yes, for Mr. President, I move the Senate to now resolve itself into Committee of the Whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The committee shall be in order.
Mr. President, there's a general orders revision number one, May 8th. Looks like five bills, starting with number 34, Senate File 1346. Where's Torres?
That is correct. First bill, Senator Torres Ray and the... She's here, yeah. The first bill we'll consider on general orders this morning would be number 34, Senate File 1346, Senator Torres Ray. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Mr. President or Mr. Chair? Mr. President.
Chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1346 be recommended to pass.
Senator Torres Ray, explanation of the bill.
Senate File 1346 is the Secretary of State's yearly bill. This bill is mostly technical, but it is very important in coordinating the services provided by the Secretary of the State's office. The bill specifies how businesses file annual reports with the Secretary and how they provide the Secretary and therefore the public with other information about their businesses. I have... I can go through the provisions right now if members have any questions, but basically what this bill will do is create some consistency in the way the office will file fees and change that assume names of copy
All
fees.
Right. Let's listen to the Senator's explanation of the bill, okay? Senator Doris Ray.
Thank you. And the consistency in how business corporations file annual reports, domestic corporations will be dissolved, and in general, all filing provisions. There's a lot of provisions in this bill related to internet filing and notary practices. Basically, this is an attempt to modernize our current system, and I will be happy to answer any questions you have about the provisions included in Senate File 1346.
Any further discussion on Senate File 1346? Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion by Senator Torres Ray that Senate File 1346 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Fine. The next bill on general orders today will be number 21, Senate File 961, Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 961 be recommended to pass.
Senator Scogin, on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For years, mom-and-pop resort owners in the state of Minnesota have offered weekend as well as week-long entertainment. And this is a bill to give them some protection in the event that they are damaged by natural occurrences, fires, windstorms, where their resort buildings are damaged. This gives them some wholeness and allowing them to rebuild even if they are in close to a shoreline. And they're only they can rebuild in the footprint that they are currently holding, except to bring maybe a bedroom up to code. In that case, they would have to build back away from the lake. And this is a bill that's just going to protect the mom-and-pop organizations.
Any further discussion on Senate File 961? Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion by Senator Scogin that Senate File 961 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next, Senator Olson. Next bill, Senator M. Olson in the chambers.
I think the Senate number 26-1574 is not going to be taken up today. So right. Have we done the Scogin bill yet?
Yes, we have.
Why don't you go to Senator Higgins' bill?
Well, that's probably what we're going to do. Senator number 33.
Mr. Senate
file 1015, Senator Higgins.
Mr. President, I'm waiting for an amendment.
Requested progress granted. Senator Rest, are you... Senator Rest, are you ready to go with number 44, Senate File 1753? Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File number 1753 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest, on the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 1753 sets up an airport funding advisory task force, which is going to be studying the adequacy of the current sources of revenue for the state's airports, the airports fund. This is not a study of how MSP is funded, but the airports around the state. The membership of the advisory task force has on it members of the legislature and then every single stakeholders group we could come up with. They're asked to make a report by February 15th with their recommendations.
Is there further discussion on Senator Jungbauer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to rise in support of Senate File 1753. Aviation funding, airport funding is a big issue at the federal level and at the state level. Senator Bach had his bill up yesterday creating a district that would actually fund airports in outstate. So whether we use fuel taxes, whether we create some other funding source members, this is good to put a task force together to be able to report not only to our state but back to our federal delegation on what we've decided would be good funding sources in the future for our aviation needs. Thanks.
Further discussion on Senate File 1753, seeing none, the question occurs on the motion by Senator Rest that Senate File 1753 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I would suggest we now take up number 51 on general orders, Senate File 303, Senator Wergen's bill.
Okay, the next bill on general orders will be number 51 on general orders, Senate File 303, Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Pogemiller, for doing this. Senate File 303 is the Municipal Boundary Adjustment Task Force.
Senator Wergen, before that, you have to make a motion that when this committee do arise, that Senate
Mr.
File
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 303 be recommended to pass. Thank you.
Okay, now, Senator Wergen, discussion on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 303 deals with the Municipal Boundaries Adjustment Task Force. This was put into effect, I believe, in 2006 with a sunset date of 2007. However, the work of the Adjustment Task Force has not been completed. This extends the sunset for 1 year. It's a very simple bill that was non-controversial but then had to undergo some changes. It went through Senator Rest's committee in order to make sure that all of the parameters of a task force were fulfilled. And then there came a subsequent small financial note that's been taken care of with an amendment that the Association of Minnesota Townships, League of Minnesota Cities, and the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities will cover any cost of the continuation of the task force. This is a task force that's working on amicable agreements for annexation between cities and townships and members. I would encourage your support. Thank you.
Any further discussion on Senate File 303? Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion by Senator Wergen that Senate File 303 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President, I'm waiting for my file.
Mr. President?
Senator Pogemiller.
I would suggest we take up number 37 on general orders, Senate File 1449.
Second. I'll talk to you in a minute.
Okay. Senator, the next bill under consideration will be number 37 on general orders, Senate File 1449. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1449 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rosen, on the bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Senate File 1449 is basically examination of the 911 fees. It provides a method to improve the compliance of already existing statutes. The current process right now, members, relies upon voluntary compliance from the telephone industry, and the commissioner lacks authority to verify these counts and reports. So this bill would require a sworn declaration of fees and an examination process for better management and collection of revenue from all vendors, including emerging technology.
For any further discussion on Senate File 1449? Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion by Senator Rosen that Senate File 1449 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, why don't we try number 50, Senate File 1215 on general orders, and this will be the last one we do on general orders, and then we will take up the higher ed bill. So I'd yield to Senator Fishbach.
Okay, the next bill on general orders will be number 50, Senate File 1215, Senator Fishbach.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arrive, Senate File 1215 be.
Okay. Discussion on the bill, Senator Fishbach.
Mr. Chairman, this is a Minnesota Department of Health housekeeping bill, and it's pretty basic. This bill deletes the radioactive material fee that was inadvertently left out from last year, and it modifies some fees from biannual to annual and extends the sunset of the Maternal and Child Health Advisory Task Force. And it also repeals certain X-ray fees and language establishing some treatment programs. And some of the lead abatement issues were taken out and added to another bill. So it's pretty technical, non-controversial bill.
Further discussion on Senate File 1215. Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion by Senator Fischbach that Senate File 1215 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr.
Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee do now arise and report.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. 2-0. The Senate will come to order. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the Committee of the Whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that Joint Rule 206 be suspended as it relates to the Conference Committee Report on Senate File 1989. That's the Higher Ed Conference Committee Report.
Now, this is to take up the Higher Ed bill, is that correct? Senator Hand.
And Mr. President, this waives the 12-hour lyover. It was put on the desks at 2 a.m., and so we can either waive the rule and take it up now or come back at 2 o'clock.
Senator Hand, did you, you want to come back?
Mr. I don't necessarily want to come back at 2 a.m. or whatever it was that we just. What I was wondering, though, is.
You might be alone.
We've had some discussion in the past about these budget bills as we take them up and getting some feel for what the big picture looks like. And I believe that we're in violation of our rules by doing this. And I'm a little concerned that we're going to take up another budget bill without having the targets that our rules call for being established for the benefit of the public and for this body. And I'm just wondering if the majority leader would like to maybe tell us if he can, what the targets are. He made some allusion to the fact that he knows what they are, but he doesn't think it's appropriate to share that with the rest of the body. But I would encourage him to do so if he's inclined before we take up this bill. Would the majority leader be willing to do that?
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, we've been over this territory, but let me just reiterate. There is no requirement for the legislative branch to agree with the governor before it does its work. There's a process in place to deal with disagreements between the executive branch and the legislature. And so we do have targets on these bills. The fact that they're coming out of conference committee defines the target. And the executive can either agree or disagree with that. And constitutionally, the process then, if he agrees, he or she agrees, they sign the bill. If he or she disagrees, they veto the bill.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, and thank you, Senator Pogemiller. And I certainly agree with that process, but what I'm concerned about is that we have rules that we've adopted in the Senate that are designed to give some transparency to this process to the members of this body as well as the public. And what we're doing right now and have been in the process of doing and that we've raised concerns about is we are getting these bills one by one, and we're being asked to vote on these one by one without ever having a full understanding of what the big picture is. How big is the budget that the majority has prepared? Clearly, the majority knows what each target. We don't know what the K-12 budget target is, for example. I'm sure that the majority leader knows that. But we're going to be asked to vote on these bills and have been asked to vote on them without having an understanding of what the total budget that the majority party has in mind. I think that is inappropriate. I think that is not transparent. I think that we need to have that brought forward, and I would hope the majority leader would do it.
Senator Parasol.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Beyond what Senator Hand just said, There's no transparency exhibited so that the public knows what's going on or what the targets might or could be or are. And I do think that withholding that from everyone in the state is an even deeper problem.
Further discussion on that,
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
It's extremely transparent. This bill is coming to the Senate floor, $30 million over the bill that passed the Senate, which I believe there was, I don't know if it was a unanimous vote, but it was pretty close. Senator Pappas, was a unanimous vote the bill that passed off the Senate floor? Perhaps it not. It had some items in there. But it's $30 million permanent money over what passed the Senate, and it is $6 million over in one-time money from what passed the Senate. And the reason for that is the House was significantly over the Senate in permanent money, and so we had to compromise with the House. But this bill can pass, be signed by the governor, and fit into the money available without a tax increase, as have all the bills that have been brought to the Senate floor from conference committee. Every single bill that the Senate has been asked to vote on out of conference committee to this date can be passed with available resources without a tax increase. And I hope that comforts members, because I thought that's what members of the Senate, some members of the Senate, had asked for. And you do not need a tax increase to vote for this higher ed bill, and we do not need a tax increase on all the previous conference committee reports that have already been passed.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, and I am comforted by that, as I'm sure all the members of the body are, but I still would like to know if the majority leader will share with the body the target for the K-12 education bill. I'm sure he knows it. I'm sure that the majority party knows it. The rest of us don't. We've seen significant increases in the level of funding for health and human services. We're looking at, with the higher education bill that we're going to take up in a few minutes, some significant increases in funding. And we need to know, I think, what the proposed increases in funding for the K-12 system are so that we can judge whether we would rather have that funding be on K-12 or on higher ed. I think it's only fair to the body and the process and the public to put that in front of the of all of us at this point and not just keep it as a knowledge that only the majority party has. And so, again, I'd ask the majority leader to share with us the targets.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Perhaps Senator Hahn is not listening. The bills that have come to the Senate floor from conference committees are in balance. The State Department's bill was less money. We made reductions there. We cut state government so that we would have money for higher education and for health care. We don't, Senator Hahn, there has not yet been an agreement on how much we're going to spend on K-12 education. We do know how much money is available without a tax increase. And Senator Hahn, we can bring back a bill from conference committee with the Senate target on K-12. And what we are trying to do is encourage the executive to invest more heavily in K-12 education. Senator Hahn, it would be helpful if you would encourage the executive, because everything that has happened to date, perhaps Senator Hahn is not listening. I will wait until your handlers are done whispering to you.
President.
Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you. I'm listening, and perhaps the majority leader is not hearing what our request is. I'm not disputing the fact that every bill has been brought forward and we know what the budget is being proposed for those particular bills, but we are in violation of our rule that we adopted that said on April 27th we would have targets for every conference committee bill. On April 27th, we adopted that rule, and we have not lived up to that. And as I said, I believe The majority party has a good idea what that conference committee target is and is going to be when they announce it. I just think it is not fair to us and the public to keep that information as a secret while we're debating each individual budget bill that comes forward. And again, I would ask Majority Leader to disclose what that target would be and comply with the rules that we adopted that required that disclosure be made on April 27th.
Okay, I would suggest we take a step back here and try to avoid any personality clashes, if you will, and move forward. And we're on the motion by Senator Pogemiller to suspend the rules. Let me complete. That's what we're talking about. Senator Worgen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do want to back up just a little bit. Our staff are not handlers. Our staff work with us. They are dignified people that deserve our respect. And I hope that we as senators do not feel that way. I hope that we all understand that we can only be as strong as our staff, and they're wonderful people.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Worgen, I think it's inappropriate for a senator to be standing with the mic and having staff people whisper into their ear while they're talking. Don't you think that's inappropriate on the Senate floor?
All right, let's try to move on if we can. Senator Limmer, did you have?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller, I know you enjoy debate. I know you enjoy pawing the ground a little bit at this juncture. But as policymakers, I think Senator Hand makes a very good point. We're trying as policymakers to get a big picture idea of where our budget is. So far, we increased the Health and Human Services appropriation by roughly 21% a few days ago. Today, we're going to be considering a minuscule budget increase of 14% or 13% and a university increase a little over 15%. Those are significant increases in one biennium period of time. So it's certainly appropriate for policymakers in this body to ask one simple question, and that is, where are we going? Where are we going by 14, 15, 21% increases in our separate isolated budgets? Could we have a picture, a big picture of where this economy and where this state budget will be at the end of the day? I think Senator Hand makes a perfectly legitimate request of the majority party, the majority leader, to answer the question, where are we going with our budget? We're beginning to see these huge increases in state spending. And we just recently saw, and I want to make sure we're on the public record, we recently passed out of this Senate body the highest income tax rate in the country, equivalizing to about $1.5 billion in new taxes in the state of Minnesota just in the last few months. So when public policymakers start seeing record increases in taxes, record increases in state spending, it's certainly a legitimate question, especially, you know, you're a new leader. In the past, we've always had some targets out there for us to point at, saying this is where we want to go, this is where we want to spend our money. Everyone should have a pretty good idea of where we're going to prioritize our spending in the state of Minnesota. And yet, strangely, in the last few months, despite a number of different requests on this floor, we don't get any answers. We see record increases in spending, and we're somewhat concerned where we're going. We keep hearing comments from the taxpayers saying, we don't want those tax increases. We're fearful of the tax increases. We've already been paying record amounts in this state for decades on high income taxes, and they're going back and doing it even more. So I think it's certainly legitimate to ask the question whether or not we have some targets out there from a public policy perspective.
All right, let me say that this time of the year it always gets a little more stressful. There's a couple of weeks to go, and let's back up a little bit, and now we're discussing, if you will, the suspension of the rules. Now, I understand it either comes back at 2 o'clock today, is that the 12 hours from, or we discuss it now. So maybe 2 o'clock this afternoon is not the end of the world. I think the majority leader is trying to maybe speed up the process, but that's Senator Sinjin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Republicans are ready to vote on this. But let me just say, we talk about comfort, going to Senator Hand, going to Senator Limmer, and others that have spoken on this. I tell you what, if you're in a minority, you reach a point of frustration. We did come up here this year pledging to work together, pledging to do the good work of the people, trying to make this place work. And I think, generally speaking, we've done a pretty good job. But there's one painfully apparent sore in this whole process, and that is our failure to live up to our rules. Rule 2.03, as we adopted that, and as we then on February 19th put this resolution together, which said that on April 27th we would have targets, and those targets would be given to us by the Speaker and the Majority Leader, and those targets that would then guide all of us through what we're doing today and what we have done over the past week, those targets aren't available to us. And so we in the minority sit almost blind to the process in terms of knowing where we are and, frankly, where we're going. So if you can understand our frustration, that's certainly what it's all about. We want to be part of this process as well. And as we go forward, we know, okay, no tax increases yet. But we know that car's going to run out of gas, that sooner or later we're going to see the big one, and that's going to be certainly on K-12. So if we could, Mr. President, if we could, Majority Leader Pogamiller, have those targets. Share those targets with us. We'll get over it. We know they're going to be big. We'll accept them. We'll get over it. We'll go forward. But share the targets. Let us know what the process is. And then this thing will all work better. And we'll be able to go home and, frankly, get our work done and again, do the good work of the people. But this has been a sore spot, obviously, throughout the last couple of weeks. And we need to fix it, and I would urge the Majority Leader and the Speaker to help us do that.
Senator Vandiver.
Mr. President, now the Majority Leader has stated that all the bills that have came before us were in balance, but in what balance, in terms of what? My constituents are very concerned about what the K-12 bill is going to look like, and what these bills are doing is spending all the money that we have before we even have a big picture of what's going to be available for that bill. So to say that this is in balance is living in a dreamland that just doesn't exist, unless you believe that the state has unlimited money. And that does appear to be what the belief of many of the people here is, but that's not the fact. And what we would like to see, and what we're asking for, is a general construct before we vote all these bills out of here. I think that's very reasonable. And I'm just curious as to why the Majority Leader will refuse to give us what those targets are.
Question is on the suspension of the rules. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pappas, do you have a motion to make?
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 1989 be now adopted, and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Okay. Senator Pappas, tell the body.
Mr. President.
What has changed, Senator Sinjin?
Mr. President, I would rise, as I have done on previous occasions, to move that Senate File 1989 be re-referred to the conference committee as formally constituted for further consideration.
It be rejected, yeah. Okay, this is a higher motion. Senator Sinjin.
And Mr. President, members, I would simply rise once again to make the plea that we have a bill here that could work. It's on the edges of being able to work. We're talking about $30 million, I believe, separating us from having a bill which probably all of us could generally accept. There's a lot of good things in this bill. We all know that. There's some things which aren't so good, and we would just implore and hope that we would send this back we would give it a little bit more time, we would get the governor involved in this process, and that we would, again, come out of this thing with an acceptable bill. It's far better to take that road, Mr. President, members, and go down the road of veto land, and that's where this bill is going if we don't. So, again, I would stand and encourage all members to support the motion to re-refer. So let's do this the right way. And let's do this the way that we all talked about last year during the campaign. As we said, again, let's come up here, let's work together, let's be cooperative, and in fact, let's make this process work. This process is not working if we simply go to veto on all of this vote, on all of these bills. So, Mr. President, members, I would, again, urge that the body consider strongly a re-referral of this bill. Let's make it work. Let's make this process work.
Okay, that the motion is by Senator Senjum to reject the conference committee report. That's what we're going to be discussing now. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to request a roll call and concur.
Seed three heads for a roll call. There will be a roll call. Senator Roebling.
I would like to concur with Senator Senjum. We received our budget target for the higher ed bill on Saturday, and we're told the bill had to be done by 6 o'clock on Monday. We worked diligently, but there were some things that I don't believe quite got worked out, and we have a pretty good bill. Senator Pappas worked really hard and was hoping to get a veto-proof bill and one that we could all support. But there are some provisions in here that should be revisited. But again, the biggest issue at this point is looking at the global budget. And my concern is, with this bill coming in higher than it left the Senate, and not knowing what the E-12 budget proposal will be, we are in essence perhaps stealing from E-12. And we need to have a big picture budget here. All of us are concerned about early childhood through 12th grade as well. This is a continuum of education we're looking for, from early childhood through higher education. They should be looked at together. They need to be balanced. We need to work within the current resources we have. And yes, Senator Pogemiller says all of these bills are within our current resources, but we haven't got to the E-12 bill yet. And we all know that we want to give them a decent increase. But if there's nothing left of the current resources, the only option will be a tax increase. And there are many of us who believe that with $2 billion above the last biennium, that we can live with that and work within it, but we have to look at it all at once. And so that's the problem we're facing here today, and the reason that this bill should go back. We should get the targets for E-12. We should look at the whole picture for our education system at once. And so, members, I encourage you to send the bill back to conference committee. Let leaders work on those targets. Let us know what they're going to be before we have to vote on this again.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, I would urge members to oppose this motion. This bill is $40 million below the governor's recommendation. I don't know how he can possibly be accusing us of overspending. And my colleagues on the other side of the aisle that we've worked with all during session, this is a negotiation process. We had to negotiate with the House. They were over $80 million above us, and we didn't even... You should be criticizing me for not doing a better job with the House and not getting more money for higher education. But this is well within our budget. We're only $30 million over the Senate, and we're $40 million below the governor. And members, Mr. President, I'd move a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call. Senator Pappas.
I move that further proceedings of the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. President and members, and I would say especially Senator Pappas, if you would. I just wanted to make sure Senator Pappas was hearing me. I don't think this motion should be made lightly to send something back to conference committee. We all have to expect to see changes when something leaves this body and then comes back from conference. And I will openly admit that I have not supported every motion to send something back to a conference committee, because it should only be made when we truly believe that a bill can be fixed by returning to conference committee. And we saw one of those fixes happen with a bill that was pretty decent. Senator Higgins' bill ended up with a unanimous vote. Senator Pappas had nearly a unanimous vote going out of this body. And Senator Pappas, I voted for your bill going out of this body because I believed that you would remove the DREAM Act, which is lower tuition for illegal aliens, and you did. And I appreciate that. Even though I was totally opposed to that, I voted for your bill knowing you would take care of that. And so I appreciate it. But members, this bill should go back to a conference committee because it is fixable. It is one that we could all end up voting for. It was in better shape before when it left the Senate than what it's coming back. Some of the provisions that went in should not have gone in. Some of the provisions that were left out should not have been left out. Even though we expect it to come back different, we have to weigh on balance what leaves and what comes back. And Senator Pappas, I think if your bill went back to conference committee, it could be worked to a point where you could have far greater support. For one thing, the tails that are in it are really significant, and they leave some questions about future budgets for higher ed that we can't afford to have in. They also leave out a few provisions. And when your bill left here, it left here with a very respectable increase for MNSCU and the U of M. It left here with an 11% increase for MNSCU and a 14% increase for the U of M, if I recall those figures correctly. And so, Senator Pappas, instead of opposing this amendment, I would urge you to support this amendment so that we can all come back and vote for your bill for higher education, because I would bet that to a person in this body, we all understand that the University of Minnesota and our college system are one of our chief economic drivers. We all understand that it needs to be carefully and thoughtfully taken care of, and I would like to do that. And so I would urge you to accept the reference for this to go back to conference committee to be reworked. Thank you.
Senator Pappas.
Members, I haven't even had a chance to explain my bill yet, so I don't know how you all know that it's so horrible to send it back to conference committee. You know, I mean, you send a bill back to conference committee, it can come back a lot worse. And there can be a lot less money and a lot less programs. And if that's your desire to totally dismantle the higher education system in our state, then so be it.
Senator Vandiver, I think we know what we're voting on here. Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Pappas yield for a question?
She will yield. Senator Vandiver.
Mr. President, Senator Pappas, with all due respect, how do you know that your bill doesn't spend too much or spend too little when we don't know how much money is in the checkbook?
A further discussion on Senator Senjum's motion to reject the conference committee report. Secretary will take the roll. Senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll or be in
23 ayes, 41 nays. The motion does not prevail. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. This bill is $30 million in ongoing money over the Senate target, but over 40-some million dollars below the House target. And it is $36 million in one-time money, which is $5 million over the Senate's one-time target. But as I said earlier, it is $40 million less than the governor's recommendation. Maybe the governor's issue is more that we're not funding his pet projects, but we're funding the core functions of the institution. But that's really been our focus. We focused on core budgets and funding the core costs of running the institution, the technology, the access. And we suggested to the institutions that if they feel like they need to do new initiatives, then they should do that through reallocation and enhanced productivity, but put a strong emphasis on tuition. The students have really been bearing the burden of underfunding by state government to our higher education institutions, and we think it's time to halt that. In the Senate and in the House, we made great efforts to hold down the growth of tuition. This bill is only halfway successful, but we think we've done some things. With Minscu, we think that with this bill, we will hold tuition increases to under 4%. With the University of Minnesota, through creative ideas like tuition bonding and a matching scholarship program, Morris will actually decline by over 10%. Duluth will see an increase of a little over 1%, Crookston 2%, and at the University of Minnesota campus, we'll see 2% in the first year and 5% in the second year, with a total of 3.5% for Minnesota residents with incomes, family incomes under $150,000. So we've really worked hard. And in addition, at the university, if you are Pell eligible, you pay no tuition because of their own private scholarship program. Other issues in the bill, the House committee overlapped with their workforce development. They had a combined committee. So we did see some workforce issues in coming through from the House. But the Senate also had some workforce issues because they're very connected. How we educate our students is very connected with if we have a good workforce or not. So in the Senate, we go to flat tuition at key campuses around the state. We only could afford to do maybe half the campuses of the two-year schools. We hope to move to all the two-year schools and to the four-year schools in the future, but it's a phased-in process. And in the House, we did fund some of their workforce initiatives that had to do with economic development and workforce development, but they were located at college campuses. And I'll be talking about that when I go through the bill. I'm very happy to say that we funded the University of Minnesota Mayo Partnership with $25 million in one-time money and $16 million in the base, which was the House position. For students, we were able to increase financial aid through in federal changes and an additional $12 million that through our additional target we were able to put into the bill. We ended up with $58 million more for students, which I think is very significant, and we have a very good financial aid increase package that we negotiated with the House. We also were able to fund the GI Bill, which is one of the governor's top priorities. Not at his level, because we were limited in how much we could spend. He funded the GI Bill, I believe, at $30 million. The Senate funded it at 10, the House at 20. We ended up with 10. But I think we are targeting the GIs who are coming back from the Iraq War, which is what all the discussion has been, and we're funding them at over and above all their other financial aid programs that are available for them. So I think the Office of Veterans Affairs, the Attorney General, the Governor's Office, we're very happy with that provision. In the area of access, the Governor had requested a lot of money for a new program called ACHIEVE, and we felt that it was an unproven program, and I'm of the belief that when we do programs, we need to plan, pilot, and implement. And if the planning doesn't work and the piloting doesn't work, then you don't implement, because we don't want to waste money. We don't have a lot of money to waste, and we really need to focus on how, what are the best practices, proven research, procedures, and programs to get students up to speed for college, get them taking rigorous courses and well prepared for college and being successful in college. And we have two programs in Minnesota that have been successful. One is College in the Schools, and that is not available in rural Minnesota, so we have just a little bit of money to expand access in rural Minnesota so students in rural campuses, rural high schools, can get access to college-level rigorous courses. We have another program that's been very successful called Intervention for College Access Programs. It's a grant program. We've given them a little bit more money to, again, expand their access programs focusing on rigorous courses. The spreadsheet you have in front of you, I'll just go through that briefly and point out some issues that have changed that are new from the House. $2 million to promote technical education on the range. $450,000 to upgrade a system called eFolio. Seabed, our wind energy projects at different college campuses, those are all under MinSCU. With one-time money, we beefed up the technology for MinSCU, which I think is really important. I think the Senate had underfunded their technology needs. We have one-time money for textbooks. Senator Wieger and Senator Roebling and others and the students had worked very hard to come up with a proposal that, working with the students, that could help bring down the prices of textbooks, maybe do a pilot loan rental system. And the House had had $1 million, and we compromised on $500,000 for that. We are doing $750,000 one-time money to put in a clean room at St. Paul College. We're helping out a women's hockey program at Bemidji. And we did a range higher education study. We have to recall that the chair of the House committee was a ranger. And they have higher education needs. But it's a compromising project. It was in the House bill, and you know, we did the best we could to bring down the cost of those projects and make sure that we got our issues funded. We did fund the Dakota Language Program, and we did put more money in both permanent and one-time money into the ag specials to look at organic agriculture and biofuel research. The I mentioned the tuition bonding and the scholarship program, and we also had $750,000 that was in both bodies for neighborhood planning around the University of Minnesota Gopher Stadium. I mentioned the GI Bill. We did increase our child care grants. I was very pleased that the Senate position prevailed on that. Not quite as high, but at $2.5 million. Those go to all parents who need child care attending our higher education institutions. And we prevailed on the Senate position on the Learning Network and Mintex, and we went halfway with the TEACH program for child care workers. They had $1 million in their bill. We didn't fund it, and we are focusing on scholarships at $500,000 in permanent money, and they only had one-time money. So that's a more stable program. And then I mentioned with the Senate Achieve program, we call it Aspire to Achieve. Achieve success through persistence in innovative, rigorous education. And we hope that if these pilot programs work well, that then that's something that we can build on and expand in the future. Members, just in terms of the language, you know, I just saw this bill at midnight last night, so for all of us, it's a little bit of a catch-up here. On page 4 of the bill, you have the language for the Aspire to Achieve program, and in that, we specify that at least two grants are to applicants who are using scholarships as an award for taking rigorous courses. And that was the governor's plan. But like I said, there's no research that demonstrates that this could be successful. So we really need to do the research and try it out. And that would be possible under this bill. We did increase money for the Campus Community Collaborative in memory of Senator Larson, who always was a big champion of that program. It wasn't because of that, but because they lost some of their federal funding. So we thought that was important to do. We did do a one-time grant to Augsburg College for the Step Up program that was in both bills. I'm not going to go over things that were in both bills. And let's see, I went through the money already. There was discussion about limiting credits. This came over from the House. The House wanted to tell Minscu that they could not pump up the credits required for their programs. They had to stick to 60 for a two-year program and 120 for a four-year program. We thought that was too restrictive, and so we have a waiver process, and the board has some time to develop a policy on this in this area. Something that wasn't funded in the Senate was the India Center. We had a lot of discussion about that, and I really felt that the whole concept wasn't ready for prime time. The university wasn't on board. I didn't see a lot of support from the India community. So we gave them $150,000 one time, required a match, so they have to go out and raise that money. That won't be easy to do, I don't think, and demonstrate that there is strong support from the community at large, and specifically the India community, to have a center at the university. Let's see, I'm going to page. We did adopt the House provision on a new program, which is a very interesting and innovative way to diversify funding for our higher education institutions, but it really does show how we're suffering from the lack of funding in terms of being able to do new initiatives or expand. We have a shortage in our state of construction managers, and the industry, a construction manager can save you a lot of money on a big project. And so the industry came and said, would you do a small surcharge, which would be maybe $15,000 on a large project, and we'll put that money toward the three programs in the state, Mankato, Moorhead, and the University of Minnesota, that are training construction managers. So we had a lot of discussion, a lot of debate on that, about whether we really thought this was a good idea, and in the end we did go ahead with that and accept the House position. Senator Dill, the House did accept your personal financial management provision, and they also accepted our provision on credit cards. And the textbook language was negotiated. We required the Office of Higher Education. They accepted our provision to study the state grant program. And a whole section of the bill that was restructuring the regulatory system for career schools was accepted by the conference committee. And, we did have a compromise on restructuring the regent process and the Minscu board. There was concern that the regent process, the committee didn't work well, and it was cumbersome to have the governor in the loop. So we actually took the governor out. He was okay with that. And we went back to having two committees, one from the House and one from the Senate, interview the regent candidates, but a smaller committee. Before, our committees were like 70 people, and now they'll be more like in the low 30s. And Senator Roebling negotiated this language. There were some other changes there. And then on the Minscu board, we did establish regular seats that would be for at least two labor representatives and two business representatives. There had been a lot of feeling in the labor community that the last three governors really hadn't been appointing anybody representing labor to the Minscu board. So we made that a requirement. And I can explain the parameters of the GI Bill. $1,000 a semester, only two semesters a year, a maximum of $10,000, only undergraduate. We're subtracting all the other financial aid programs you're eligible for, except not the tuition reimbursement program that the National Guard runs. The Senate backed off from their position on that. And like I said earlier, we think that they'll be very happy with that. I think most of the other provisions in the bill are pretty technical. So with that, I just want to emphasize that we do feel like we're going to be holding down tuition with this bill. We sent a very strong message to the institution, and we have provided some funding for them to do that. But I just want to wrap up by saying, talking about the funding for briefly, is that we did do 15% cuts in 2003, and I think it's really important that we work ourselves back up to a better proportion of what the state is funding in the cost of higher education. Prior to only 7 years ago, the state was paying for two-thirds of the cost of attendance, and the student was paying for one-third of the cost. We are now at MNSCU at 50-50, and at the U, the student is paying for 60% of the cost. Now, I think with this new tuition banding and scholarships for a lot of students, we're starting to reverse the direction there. But I did some calculation, and if we calculated inflation at 3% and we added that to what we had decreased or increased over the including this biennium, so over three bienniums, we are still 6% below what we would have been if we had just been doing an inflationary increase. So this is not a generous budget. Even though it is a 13% increase, we are still 6% below where we should have been if we had only been doing inflation. And we all know that inflation in education at 3% is not adequate enough as it is. So members, this is a very good bill. Before I end, I wanted to remember to thank all the staff people that worked on this legislation. And we had to work very intensely. We got our target on Saturday. We had to finish up the bill by 6 o'clock yesterday. We finished at 6:30. The House conferees were very wonderful to work with. Representative Rukavina, Representative Atkins, Representative Welty, Representative Brinert, Representative McFarland, and Representative Bly is a non-voting member. The House staff was also fabulous to work with. Doug Berg, Kathy Novak, Jim Gelbman, Sue Scott, and the House pages, I don't have their names, but they were also very helpful. The Senate conferees, Senator Sharon, Senator Latz, and I do appreciate the support from Senator Roebling and Senator Michelle, even though Senator Roebling and Senator Michelle didn't sign the conference committee report. And our Senate staff, Dennis Albrecht, John Fuller, Maya Weidman, Emily Shively, Katie Lehman, Sophia Guinness, Dan Hicks, and Ed Cook were also very helpful. We had to put a bill together very quickly. And I gave the opportunity for the advocates to come to my office last night at 9 o'clock to see the bill. Because you know how conference committees are, you send the staff off to write the riders, and somebody has to be here to make sure that what was communicated to them was actually what we intended. And we did find some mistakes last night that I was able to correct and our staff was able to correct. But only a couple people came by last night at 9 o'clock, so I think it was they trusted us to do a good job. We worked hard. We tried to provide a lot of transparency and a lot of input. And so I'm very proud of this bill, and I urge everyone to support it.
Is there discussion on the conference committee for Senate File 1989? Chair recognizes Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would Senator Pappas please yield?
She will yield.
Senator Pappas, I just had a chance just now to look at your bill, and it does look like a very good bill in some parts. I would like to know, though, Senator Pappas, why a tuition cap language was not in this bill when it did pass as an amendment in the House and it narrowly passed in the Senate. And I do think that is a proposal that should have been given some very sincere consideration.
Senator Pappas.
When we passed our second bill that provided more investment into higher education, like $90 million more, we did have language to restrict the growth of tuition in that bill. But we felt it was it was irresponsible to be too restrictive. Now, the Minsky board has committed to not increase tuition above 4%, but we think that with our additional resources for technology, that they should be able to hold that down to below, you know, close to 3%, but I don't know. I just don't believe it's appropriate to hold their, to tie their hands totally. We don't know what might happen. Their computer systems could all explode. They're very antiquated. The University of Minnesota has come up with some very creative ideas, and I mentioned how the tuition is going to be held down for Minnesota residents on those campuses. The House, frankly, I'll get back to your question, is the House never pushed their position. I think they saw once they lost $60 million out of their bill that they just weren't providing enough resources to Minsky, and in particular, to be able to do that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Senator Pappas, could you just, again, just briefly summarize what you have done basically for the students as far as tuition in this bill, or more specifically for the parents dealing with tuition and some cost benefit?
Senator Pappas.
Gladly. We increased financial aid by $58 million, and what that relates to per student, I really don't know, because it depends on their own personal circumstances. We funded the GI Bill. Obviously, those are students, so GI students will be getting an additional $2,000 a year, $10,000 maximum. We are holding tuition in Minsky to under a 4% increase. I'm not, between 3 and 4% is what I anticipate. At the University of Minnesota, tuition will decline 10% at Morris. At Duluth, the increase will be 1.3%, and at Crookston, 2% due to the banding proposal. The banding proposal is you can take, I believe it's 13 credits is what you pay for, and then if you take any additional credits above that in a semester, you don't pay for them. So a lot of students can take 17 credits. You know, 16 credits, they're not paying for them. It helps them to graduate more quickly and not rack up so much college debt. At the University of Minnesota, with the scholarship program that I mentioned, the first year increase, their increase is probably going to be 5 and 7% at the University of Minnesota. If you qualify for their scholarship, and that is if you have family income of $150,000 or less, then your increase would be held to 2% in the first year and 5% in the second year for an average of 3.5%. If you are Pell eligible at the university, you pay no tuition. And we actually have a program for Minneapolis and St. Paul graduates. If they are financially eligible, they pay no tuition at MCTC, at St. Paul College, and at Metro State. We also did the textbook provision for students. We have language to was negotiated with the publishers for more transparency, more information. Instructors will be given information about the cost of books. There'll be educating of instructors to not over assign books to students, and we hope that they will experiment with a textbook rental program. We also took the sunset off their advisory committee that they have for the Office of Higher Education. And I think that's it.
Is there a further discussion on the conference committee for Senate File 1989? The chair recognizes Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pappas did a very good job of presenting the bill, and there are some good provisions in the bill. There's many good provisions, and I enjoyed working with her on the committee and the conference committee. Again, members, though, it comes back to this global picture of our financial situation. We want to give money to education. We all know we want to do that, but we need to look at the whole picture, and we haven't been given that opportunity here yet at this point, with less than 2 weeks left in the legislative session. And in order to do that, we can't be tying up all of these dollars today not knowing what will be left for E-12 education. And so that's why I believe that we need to vote no on this bill today. And it's hard for me to say that because I've worked very hard on it and there are some very good provisions in it and we're very, very close to where we should be. But without the whole picture, it just doesn't make sense right now. And, you know, there are a few provisions in here. Had we sent it back to conference committee, a few concerns that we might have worked on. I know that the appointment of four members to the Minsky board is of some concern on the 15-member board that different groups would be actually choosing those, although the governor would get to choose from a list presented by those groups of people that they would like to see on the board. But it also does trouble me. We are giving some pretty big increases to Minsky and the U of M, and we didn't put the tuition cap on. I wish we had done that because there's no binding of any of this money. We're asking the institutions, we're trusting them to do what we want and put the emphasis on keeping tuition low first, but not doing any requirement for that. And so I wish that were on here, but you know it isn't essential. If we feel that the institutions have heard us, and I will say it right now, I hope they're hearing us, that is a priority with any money that we send their way. I was very troubled with the idea of charging a surcharge on building permit fees for non-residential construction in order to fund the construction management programs that they would like to beef up. It's a new policy that we're looking at. I don't know that they proved their case. One of the consequences of this, and you'll hear about this from your local units of government, because it includes public building projects as well. So if your school district is building a new school, for example, and they go to pull the building permit for that, there will be an additional surcharge tacked onto that building permit fee to fund this program. It will raise over $1 million a year. And I know they said they needed about 40 more graduates a year. They need 170 positions. We're graduating about 130. And I just think it's overly generous to provide that much money in order to meet that request. And I also think that the Minsky Board and the U of M need to reallocate when there are gaps in our public sector where we need new workers in an area. They need to retool and reshape their programs so that they can provide them with their resources that we're providing. Other than that, there is some concern about the India Center. We're not quite sure, and I know Senator Pappas had concerns about it too, not quite sure where it ends. There is a China Center at the University of Minnesota, but we're not sure if what group will come in next asking for the same thing. And so that's always a concern. It's kind of the camel's nose under the tent. Once we start something, how do we stop it and justify stopping it later on? When this bill left the Senate the first time, I did express concerns about not putting some money into the ACHIEVE program. And Senator Pappas indicated that she usually likes to study, test, and then implement. And I think that the way we had it set up, we could have studied it next year, we could have tested it the year after, and then gone to more full implementation, but we're not getting that opportunity in this bill. And I think that the goal of that ACHIEVE program was to prepare students for higher education in high school and save them the remedial costs that they might have to incur later if they prepare well when they're in high school. It also gave them the opportunity to earn some scholarship money toward college. And it's a novel idea. I know it's an untested idea. We looked for other examples around the country, but we have often been known to be innovators. After all, we started charter schools here in Minnesota too. And we like to try things out. And I wish we were trying it out in a bigger form than we are in this bill. But otherwise, again, back to the concern about the global budget picture and how we're going to resolve that with less than 2 weeks to go. And so that's why I'm standing here today saying we shouldn't be voting on these bills until we have the whole picture.
Is there further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, there's a lot of good in this bill. I think we all know that. And Senator Pappas, congratulations for your good work. And I would say this. In particular, there's good, at least from my perspective, and I think the perspective of the state of Minnesota relative to, in this case, the commitment to the Mayo University Genomics Partnership. That in my mind, Mr. President, members, is a commitment that is well-founded. And as we look back at the state of Minnesota 20 years hence, we look back at this great state, I think we'll see that that kind of a commitment will have reaped many a good harvest in terms of the economic prosperity that our state's going to enjoy by virtue of going ahead in this area and, in fact, being the center of the world, if you will, in terms of medical cures. That's important. We have a wonderful chance to do that, and this bill, through the funding that's been placed in it, allows us to move forward with this. As we look at this bill, however, though, I think Senator Roebling has talked well in terms of where this bill is in context of all the other bills. And we don't have a clue, and we can get in this whole subject of targets and where we are in the grand scheme of things. And frankly, as Senate Republicans, I don't think we have a clue except to perhaps guess as to what the outcome of this session is going to be. But we know that we're walking down Primrose Lane, and we know that that lane is perhaps filled with bumps, and those bumps are going to be veto bumps. And as we walk this lane, I think we walk it knowing that eventually this lane is going to lead us right off the cliff, and we're going to jump off that cliff, and it's not going to be fun. And that cliff is when we finally approach, if you will, the end of the series of bills where we don't get into tax increases. So, Mr. President and members, we all know that this bill is destined for veto land, even though it's got very good things in it. I'm going to support this bill today based on the Mayo Genomics Partnership. I will tell you, though, that I will be fully prepared to support a veto as this bill is vetoed, because in the grand context of things, this bill and this session is all about putting a package together. We cannot put a package together one piece at a time. We have to have every piece in our hands and available to us. We don't have that, Mr. President, and we won't have it until the vetoes are in, and we can gather up the scraps, if you will, all the veto scraps, and we can once again look at a budget in the totality that needs to be looked at and put it together in the framework that it needs to happen. And when that happens, we'll get this work done and we'll go home. But until then, it will not happen. So this bill will come back. There's no question about it, and that's unfortunate. But you hope today, as we made a motion to re-refer, that we could get it back, that we could work out the subtle differences, and we could bring it back to this chamber, and that we can get a good unanimous vote on it. That didn't work out, and so we'll see it again. And in the meantime, today I'm going to support it. Next time, you can be sure my vote will be to sustain a veto.
Chair recognizes Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm rising to support the bill. I'm hoping that the Senate will support this bill. I think I'd like to just review some of what is in the bill to remind the Senate that this appropriation for higher education is $39.613 million less than in the governor's recommendation. I think that's an important thing to take a look at when we're talking about a kind of spending. One of the things that I'm very concerned about in terms of higher education is the relationship between the state spending and the students' responsibility and their families' responsibility to education. And we've made a commitment in the past that we would fund at a 67% level. This is well below that level. If we were to do, as the governor asks, on the ACHIEVE program, we would, according to his numbers, have to expend $78 million on that ACHIEVE program. Based on our target, that would leave, after we spent that, only $120 million for each of the systems, for the university and for MNSCU. That simply is way underfunding and doesn't go anywhere close to achieving some of what our Republican senators have asked us to pursue, and that is a tuition freeze. So this proposal really does a lot to move us towards what the governor has as his goals, We agree that the concept of assisting students to move forward to higher education and be prepared and to save and have money for that is a very good idea. And the Inspire program addresses that, but it addresses it in a way that is proven to demonstrate that it hits and targets the correct people and assists them to get ready and to be able to afford higher education. And in addition, it provides for a pilot or a study by providing some money for the program that the governor does want us to take a look at in the form of ACHIEVE. So there's a number of provisions that include efforts to help students deal with textbooks and the rising cost of textbooks. This, they have brought to our attention, adds to the other difficulties they have and besides tuition in dealing with the cost of education. It does provide a capacity for the systems to keep down tuition through the various funding programs. It provides all sorts of grant programs for the students in order to help them pay for higher education. I urge your support.
Is there further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, the motion by Senator Pappas occurs that when this the Conference Committee on Senate File 1989 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries and the Conference Committee report is adopted. The Secretary will give Senate File 1989 its third reading.
Senate File 1989, a bill for an act relating to higher education, appropriating money for higher education and related purposes, etc.
The Secretary will take the roll. Members, we are under call. Please vote. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 44 ayes and 21 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Johnson. Senator Johnson, I believe, has a motion.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1193.
I think the first motion is to take the bill from the table, Senator Johnson, then you do the next motion, okay?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to take the bill from the table.
Okay. Senator Johnson moves that Senate File 1193 be taken from the table. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Now, Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1193 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Senator Johnson, you tell the body what the changes are.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll try this again. This is the department's weights and measure bill. Section 1, as it came out of the Transportation Committee, I offered an oral amendment to remove the word penalty from line 1.11. When it came out of Transportation, that word had not been removed. When it came back from the House, it had an amendment with the words no civil or criminal penalties apply to violations of this subdivision to take care of that issue. I've conferred with Senator Moi, and after looking at the language, we think this will work. If members have any other questions, I will defer.
Any discussion on Senate File 1193? Seeing none, Senator Johnson renews her motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1193 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1193, a bill for an act related to motor fuels requiring a person fueling a motor vehicle remain close to the dispenser, nozzle, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. I got it. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 60 ayes, 4 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Limmer, do you have a...
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 1242, number 36 on general orders, be stricken and returned to the author.
This is your bill.
Yes, it is, Mr.
President. On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President, is there any work at the desk?
I think that's
okay,
it.
Okay, Mr. President, I would hold for announcements. We'll meet at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Before we adjourn without objection, Senator Stumpf will be excused from today's session all day. Senator Vickerman from 10 to 11:55. Senator Kubley from 11:30 to 12:30. Senator Pogemiller.
Any announcements?
Mr.
President, then I would move that tomorrow members will take up some items on the general orders calendar. I would not anticipate that it would be a very long session. And so, Mr. President, I would move that the Senate adjourn till Wednesday, May 9th, 1 p.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.